The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome, everyone. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. It is June 23rd, 2021. For the podcasters, and if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276, same as always. We're trying something a little bit different tonight, just a little bit different. I'm seeing if we can broadcast live video to Twitter, and I tried something. And I don't know if it's going to work or not, so you guys can go there and check things out if you want to see the Carm Twitter account. So that's that. Okay. Interesting. All right, and we got a little bit of a searching problem on the Carm website, and don't know why. Okay. Anyway, so we have a tech guy working on that, just to let you know we're doing that. All right. Hey, five open lines, give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right. Let's see, we have prayer ministry. If you want to give us a call, give us a call. If you want to email us for about prayer, if you need prayer, you want to be in prayer with us, then you can contact us at prayer@carm.org. it's something that we want to do more and more. Okay, just the tech guy is going to fix the search thing. That's what he's saying. So getting all these messages coming up. We just discovered it 5 minutes ago. So let the tech guy know that there's an issue on the Carm search feature. and so, at any rate, so something got messed up. And about 2 months ago, I went in and made a slight adjustment on something and messed it up. And so now it's kind of a running joke. He goes, I didn't accuse you. You didn't do it. You know, so it was kind of funny. Anyway, five open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. If you want to join us in the prayer ministry or you need prayer, just go to prayer@carm.org. Just email us there. And also, we stay on the air by your donations. And I want to just talk about that a little bit. There's no particular need, nothing, it's an emergency, but I just want to let you know that during the summer months, things usually get slow. But I'm also going to be talking a little bit more later about what to do to prepare for the coming persecution. Now, when I talk like that, I know that a lot of people's eyes bug out. You know, this is America, things are pretty good. I'm actually working on something on what to do and how to prepare your family. I'm thinking, as sometimes is the case, when I work on one thing, it often becomes more. And we have to have resources and articles and other things committed to that. So it might be the case. And if you were to go to carm.org/persecution, then I think, yeah, let me check it right now. Then you should be able to get to the articles. Nope, it's not working there either. No, they're fixing the search thing, and their second level pages are messed up. Anyway, by going to the persecution thing, once it's fixed, you will just see a list of articles that I've written over the years about persecution and what's happening in here in America. If you have instances, you have personal accounts, and if you were to write something and send it to us, we might be able to develop a small area where we could put in people's real-life examples of who, what, when, where. You can keep your real name if you want, or you don't have to if you don't want to. We can put a note in there saying that names changed to protect you, things like that, because it's certainly legitimate. The Christian faith is under attack. We're not in a post-Christian society. We're in an anti-Christian society. Now, you think about this. Our government, our society is promoting and legislating immorality and anti-Christian thought. It is promoting transsexual stuff, promoting abortion, promoting pornography, promoting LGBTQ stuff, trying to get little boys and little girls to share the same bathrooms, having drag queens come in and teach our children. These are all moral issues, and now the government is legislating morality in an area that belongs to the parents. And I suspect that on Tucker Carlson tonight, he'll be discussing a parent-teacher meeting of some sort, I forgot where two people were arrested because of the critical race theory idiocy that's going on. A lot of people are really upset, and lawsuits are being filed. You know, our country's being just attacked from inside. So this is how it works biblically. When the truth comes out, and I mean the truth of who Christ is, that homosexuality, lesbianism are sins, transgenderism is a sin, abortion is sin, and you start talking like this and standing up for righteousness and saying to the leftist school board members, no, we don't want critical race theory taught, we don't want the wokeness in our in the schools indoctrinating our children. See, when we start talking like that, the oppression comes. You have to understand that when a society moves more towards a socialistic ideology, that it's going to get worse. Now, you have to consider that socialism is a type of totalitarianism. And what I mean by that is totalitarianism is where the state has absolute control. Absolute control. Dissent is not allowed. Dissenters are not allowed in a totalitarian system. Totalitarian. So those who resist, the dissenters, have to be squelched and quieted. This is what totalitarianism does. Now think about what's happening on the left. They are trying to silence the opposition. We know that the far-left Democrats and this far-leftists are trying to silence people from being able to voice their opinions. The social media outlets are censoring people. We know this kind of thing is occurring and is going to increase because they are the ones who are in power, and because, in my opinion, the Christian church has failed to stand up to unrighteousness and has failed to prioritize what is worth risking your safety and your security for. And because the Christian church has largely babysat and give hammock theology and therapeutic sermons and things like this, that it's caused the Christians in this country, or contributed to the Christians in this country, in their spiritual apathy and atrophying. And so there's not many people now who are willing to face persecution and suffering for the cause of Christ here in America, and particularly with the idea that, oh, God's not going to appoint us to wrath, but we'll get raptured out, is just another link in the chain that supports and anchors down, in my opinion, apathy. The Christian church is obligated before Christ to make disciples of all nations. In order to do that, we are to gear our lives, our work, and our words for that end. God in Christ gave us that command when he, at the last Great Commission, go, therefore, go into all the nations, make disciples, making disciples of all the nations. And this is what we're called to do by Jesus. And more, this is not happening. It is not happening. And I'm trying to be careful how I say things. I don't want to needlessly offend anybody, but truth needs to be spoken. And when the Christian church is apathetic, largely apathetic, not everybody in it is, there are plenty of people who are willing to risk for the sake of righteousness. But the Christian church as a whole has failed in that ability and that strength to set an example in the world because it's not prioritized righteousness and the things of Christ over other things in the Christian's lives. And so therefore, the Christian church has become ineffective the Christian church is perceived as weak. And this does not add any motivation for the youth to stay Christian, and I mean it in a loose sense, but to stay in the church, because most of the churches are losing members. And people don't know this, but 80% of the Christians raised in a Christian home and go to church, within 2 years of going to secular college, 80% lose their faith. Christians are not being equipped. The pastors aren't equipping them as much as they need to. Doesn't mean that if they do try in a church setting to equip that, you know, all children are going to stay in the faith. We understand that's not the case, but the Christian church needs to become far more aggressive in its determination to present the gospel to a fallen and decaying world. And we need to do this as much as possible to be at peace with all people, but to preach that gospel and to not lay down. And because the Christian church has largely done that, the progressives have gained power and gained influence, and now the Christians are afraid to speak up. Well, it's time to speak up. It's been past time to speak up. And the Christians should prioritize. And this is what I'm going to say here. We'll get to the calls. But you need to prioritize your life. And this is part of an article that I'm working on. But you need to decide the things that you're committed to in your life. And you need to decide which things you're willing to suffer for. And you need to decide to be totally committed to Jesus. And you need to ask yourself, are you willing to suffer for Christ's sake? And these are the kinds of things that you have to ask yourself. And when I talk like this, I know that a lot of people just kind of roll their eyes and say, well, it's not that bad. It's not a big deal. If you studied Nazi Germany, you see that's what the Jews started. That's what they first thought when it happened. When you study communism's rise into Czechoslovakia, it's the same kind of attitude. Don't worry about it. It'll blow over. Gradually, though, the water temperature got so hot that people were killed in that heat. You know, as a frog is in a thing of water, you slowly turn the heat up. It doesn't realize until it's too late. We Christians need to realize that here in America, this is an anomaly in history. Our peace and our security here is an anomaly. And the reason it is because the founding fathers wove Christian principles into the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And this is why we prospered, and this is why things went so well. But now that the left is in control and is trampling the Constitution underfoot and trying to confiscate our guns and trying to penalize our free speech, and we see the left trying to go after, you know, Trump supporters, not that I'm a Trump supporter or anything, but the idea of political oppression upon people who are being labeled as terrorists because they don't bow to the political party in control. This kind of thing is soft totalitarianism, and it's coming. And you'll find out in history that when people gain power like that, they never voluntarily give it up. They only want more power, and they use crises and problems to gain power. When they gain power, they will oppress those who resist. Are you going to resist? This is what's coming, folks. And we need to prepare. And I've got some stuff I'm working on in this regard. But nevertheless, may the Lord bless you. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the phones here with Alberto from Georgia. Welcome, brother. You're on the air. I hit the button, so waiting for you, Alberto. You there?
Hello? Me?
Hello. All right.
Me?
You there?
Hello? Matt Slick.
Yes, that's me. That's
yeah,
correct.
My question is, what's the difference between the day of the Christ and the day of the Lord?
I don't see any difference between them. Day of Christ is used only in Philippians day the Lord is used in Acts and the epistles. They seem to be the same thing. Okay?
Oh, so what a minister tends to say, well, the day of Christ is one thing, and the day of the Lord is the second coming, and they say the day of Christ is a rapture. That's what that, I hear preachers say that.
I don't know if they, what why they would say it, but it seems to be the same thing as far as I'm concerned when I look. The day of the Christ, if they say it's the rapture, then it has to be according to Jesus' own words in Matthew 13, where the first ones taken are the wicked before the rapture occurs. So, you know, ask them that. But I don't know. I don't know why they would say that. You know, maybe they could call up and tell us. Because the day of Christ is out of Philippians only. It only occurs in Philippians.
Okay. Yeah. I want to add what you were mentioning earlier. I got the devil got the church sucking on the bib, you know, of social gospel, rocking them to sleep, the church. The body of Christ is falling asleep. The devil's rocking them back and forth. Rocking them back and forth to fall asleep.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's what the devil got the church just sucking on a social gospel bib.
Well, you know, when I do seminars, when I preach and things like that, I always bring in doctrine. I always bring in things like this, and people are surprised. I don't, from what I've understood, pastors just very rarely. Speak very good theology or very deep theology. They don't really interrelate a lot of things. I do, and people are thankful for it. I think the Christian congregation wants more exegetical preaching and deeper preaching. That's what I think. But it's up to the pastors to start to do what they're going to do. And when I say this, I know pastors think I'm arrogant. But, you know, that's what their job is supposed to do, is equip the Christians for the work of ministry. And that means doctrine, it means apologetics, it means counseling, it means all kinds of stuff for the work of ministry. So, that's what we call the deal. Okay, buddy?
All right, thank you, sir. God bless you. Keep with the great word, Matt Slick.
All right, man. Well, thanks a lot, man. God bless, buddy. All right.
All right. God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good, let's get to Ryan from Pennsylvania. Ryan, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate you taking my call. Mm-hmm. And I appreciating you inviting me to call anytime. Mm-hmm. I was listening to your intro to your show, and I was confused about something. if your theology, which is Calvinism, is true, then God has chosen the elect from the foundation of the world to be saved, and the rest will be condemned. So why does it matter if we're apathetic or not? Why does it matter if we pray or not? Why does it matter if we do apologetics or not? It will have no bearing on who goes to heaven and who goes to hell.
Well, we do what we do because God has commanded that we promote righteousness, that we seek truth, that we resist evil. This is what God has called us to do. And it's good Reformed theology
But it makes no difference.
It is good Reformed theology to obey the command of God. Since he commands that...
But it makes no difference.
If he commands it, then we are to act in obedience. Do you agree that we should do what God commands?
Well, what I think is that whether we obey or not obey, if your theology is true, the elect will be saved and the rest will be condemned.
So let me ask you.
It does not matter. It is meaningless whether we obey or not.
Let me ask you. Is it a good thing for the Christians to obey what the Lord God commands?
I'd say if your theology is true, it is meaningless whether we obey what God says or not. Okay. And it has
two
no meaning
things.
At all.
Two. One, you don't answer my question, and two, you don't understand what you're criticizing. You don't understand Reformed theology. And this is often
yes,
the
do.
Case.
And according
no,
to
you
the,
don't.
According to the,
no,
the
you don't.
Canon
no, you
of court,
hold on a
the
sec.
Elect will
hold
be
on a
saved,
sec.
And
we're
the
not
rest
talking,
will be condemned,
hey,
and that is determined
excuse me, Ryan,
from the foundation
Ryan,
of the world.
Ryan. Election is one thing. I asked you about doing what's right before God and before people. That should we do that, even if God has elected people? Are we obligated as Christians to follow that command of Christ, preach the gospel, which is what he commands to do, and resist evil and do what is right? Is that what we're supposed to do? What's your answer to that?
What is my answer to that? My answer is that the reason I'm calling is I'm offering a critique of your theology.
Okay, I'm asking
I'm
you a specific
you
question.
Advertising here,
I'm asking you a question.
I know you are.
You're not answering the question. Are we, because you know what Calvinists teach, Calvinists actually teach, believe it or not, that we are to obey Jesus and that we are to seek righteousness and we're to evangelize as much as possible. And you see, the funny thing is, some of the greatest evangelists I know are Reformed in their theology. George Whitefield was a very strong Reformed individual, and he was the greatest evangelist of the 1800s. Now, I think that if you had a time machine, you should go back and tell him he's wasting his time obeying the Lord God.
He is. He did. What he was doing was explicitly contradictory to his own theology because it had zero effect on who was going to be saved and who was going to be condemned. Zero effect.
Ryan, why do you think I should be on the radio answering questions if it's just, you know, God predestines the elect? Think it should be not on here?
What you're doing is explicitly contradictory to what you believe, because you believe
the elect
will be saved and the rest will be condemned, and that was decided from the foundation of the world.
Well, that's what the Bible
says.
You are
explicitly contradicting your own theology.
No, the Bible says we're chosen from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. That's Ephesians 1:4. I mean, you can just take that out of your Bible if you don't like it. But doesn't it also, the same Bible, tell us to give an answer to everyone who would ask? Isn't that what the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15? So how do you reconcile, since you're the one complaining, how do you reconcile the command to give an answer to everyone who would ask you and Ephesians 1:4, which says that God chose us in Christ from the foundation of the world? How do you reconcile that?
I don't have to reconcile it because I don't believe the elect was chosen from the foundation of the world, all of the elect. And I don't. No. I do believe that Christian activity has a direct effect on who goes to heaven and who goes to hell.
So you don't
Therefore,
I'm asking you a question here.
All Christian activity has an effect on who goes to heaven and who goes to hell.
Yeah, you're just a
synergist.
That's
why it has meaning.
So just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world? That's Ephesians 1:4. Do you agree that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world?
I believe he chose some to be sure, but not all.
Wait a second. Let me look at the Greek. Let me look at the Greek and see if it says some. Ooh, hey, it's not there. So what you just did was alter the word of God to fit your theology. So let me ask you again.
That's what you do continually, Matt.
Let me ask you Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Do you believe that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world?
Sure, of course.
Okay.
Do you
also believe Acts 13:48, where it says God appoints people to eternal life? Do you believe that?
Of
I
course
guess not. Oh, well then, so do I, and I evangelize, apparently, more than you do. Hey folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. All you gotta do is give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's see, Rusha from Georgia. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I don't know how to follow up after that last caller. but in a strange way, I'm a little happy that that he called, because now when I talk about somebody setting up a straw man or a boogeyman, you're going to know. Oh, that's what she's talking about.
There's more to say.
Thanks for sticking up for us reformed people.
Well, thank you. Let me add one thing. I wanted to talk. He was just too hostile. But God ordains the means as well as the ends. And so he ordains us to accomplish his will, and there are levels of that that we don't understand. And that's part of the reformed faith, too. But he thinks he understands Reformed theology in that respect. He doesn't. But nevertheless.
Maybe one day he'll get to the point where he understands it well enough to get some comfort from it, maybe. but on to my question. Mm-hmm. I was wondering where you got your representative sample for liberals, because I know it's a really large group, kind of like the Presbyterians are a large group. Mm-hmm. And, the example I gave in the Facebook chat is just because my... non-Presbyterian high school principal told me that, you know, he knew somebody who had read the Los Angeles Times. The Los Angeles Times was doing a write-up on the PCUSA. And the PCUSA at the time was debating within themselves. So even the PCUSA, even by PCUSA standards, some were saying, hey, this is wacky. They were debating whether or not to find more feminine ways to refer to the Trinity. But from that bit of information, my never-met-a-Presbyterian high school principal told me that all Presbyterians are Mary worshipers.
That was the last part?
That they're Mary worshipers. Yeah. Well, he was going off of information, which was information that he got from somebody else. I don't even know if he read the Los Angeles Times article.
I read a lot of stuff.
But, yeah.
But, yeah. So what was your question, though?
Oh, where are you getting your representative sample when you talk about liberals?
What I do is I watch Tucker Carlson, I watch Hannity, I have news app. Oh, yes. And I watch,
Though. They're not liberals themselves, and they bear false witness against
But
liberals.
I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. Oh, hold on. Okay. Okay. And so I also have a news app called Conservative News Pro, which I highly recommend that people get, especially Christians. And it goes through a lot of the, it's a listing of news outlets that covers a lot of what the left says. And you can go in and you can read what they say. You can also go to CNN, MSNBC, and look at those websites as well. I will sometimes go to USA Today, and I'll go to the New York Times, and I'll read there. And then as far as books go, what I'll do is I have books like Breaking the News by Alex Marlow, The Smear by Cheryl Atkinson, Live Not by Lies by Rod Dreher, The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates by Trujillo, and others. And what I'll do is I just read, listen, take notes, things like that.
Well, I'm glad to see you've diversified, more than one type of liberal in there.
I'm a researcher. I can't just go to the leftist to learn what the right is from the leftist and vice versa. So I go to the left, and I'll go to, I have a news folder and on my web browser. Okay, and I have Breitbart, Fox, the Western Journal. I have CNN. What's the other one? Oh, man. Oh, there's another one I forgot. That's pretty liberal. But I go check things out and see what they say and see how they skew information on either side best I can.
Okay. Now, do you have any tips on how to find liberals who are on the ground? Conservatives as well.
I don't understand the phrase on the ground.
As in, they're not, how do we put this? Let's just say CNN has a reputation, and even some on the left are going to say, hey, they're a bit detached from reality because, they want to make money. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure. There are leftists everywhere. And they're in schools, and they are brainwashing children. And this sounds conspiratorial, but it's just true. The left are trying to get the children. This is one of the tactics of totalitarian regimes and socialist regimes. They want control of schools to be able to indoctrinate. And so you don't have to go very far to look at that.
I'd be happy to discuss my career in the local public schools with you another time, maybe.
Yeah. Did you have any firsthand experience of that?
Well, I got to tell you, and this is one of the reasons why I asked for your representative sample before I really, pushed on anything, is that I'm in Atlanta area, so we've definitely got Bible Belt vibe going on here. Mm-hmm. So, welcome anytime. Anybody come over. I am aware that, for example, if you went, say, up in New England, you might get a different type of liberal.
Yeah, there are. In California, for example, one of the reasons my wife and I left California about 17 years ago was because they were coming down on homeschoolers, saying what homeschoolers needed to teach inside of your own home, and they were definitely moral issues. In fact,
I'd also be happy to discuss homeschoolers anonymous later.
Well, that's nice,
I grew up homeschooled. So.
Our children were homeschooled too. I'm for it. I'm very much in for it. I don't like the secular state controlling too much. I believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says that we're supposed to have a representative form of government and the right of self-protection. And when someone does something bad, you don't outlaw the instrument. You imprison and you deal with the people who are the bad people. So when someone picks up a stone and kill somebody with a stone, you don't outlaw stones. You tackle the perpetrator. So when someone uses a gun to kill somebody, you don't outlaw guns. This is what the left is trying to do. And in socialistic regimes, you know, when they want to disarm the population so they can be in control. And this is history. This is what happens in history. And I've been reading books on this kind of stuff, and there's plenty of examples of this kind of a thing. And if it doesn't stop, if the rate that it's going continues, well, Christianity is going to become illegal or potentially illegal. And the Bible may be.
Once again, we're in the Bible Belt. We're in the Bible Belt. We got you.
Yeah. But what I'm waiting for is for them to start saying the Bible is propaganda and illegal because it doesn't support homosexuality. In fact, there's a new movie coming out, which is in the works, called 1946, The Movie. And it's about how the Bible has been altered by people like myself in order to stand against homosexuality when in actuality the Bible supports it. And so it's another twist. They are coming after even the Word of God. I even have a book called, the Bible, called the Queen James Bible. And it's where they alter the text of God's Word in order to make it approve of it. They're going after God's Word. They're not going to stop. So I'm trying to warn
people. That's where you recommend your friends go to CARM.org. Have they heard about it?
They should go to CARM and other websites that are there. But I've always been the kind of person, if there's a need, go take care of it. If there's a problem, go fix it. If there's unrighteousness, deal with it. But unfortunately, too many people are just sheeple. They'll wear face masks when they don't need to wear face masks. They will just do whatever they're told all the time. And
I'd also love to discuss sometime what reasonable precaution if you actually are with a very busy airport.
Are you aware that the N95 mask and stronger or better is required to stop the virus, because the virus, the coronavirus, is smaller than the distance between the fabric material in standard face mask? You aware of that?
There are different ways that they've tested to try to figure out, on a scale, how protective is this specific mask? I've been in a high-risk county, so two-layer cotton with polypropylene in the middle, which is supposed to be a little below the N95, but, still gives you,
it doesn't make any difference. It's not reducing. It's not causing the reduction that they hope it does. But to me, I see it as a control marker. The people who are in charge want to see, to some degree, how much will the population just go along with what they're told. That's one of the things I'm worried about. It's a control marker. I'm not saying don't wear a mask. I'm saying it's been overdone and it's become a means of control. And this is something we've got to be careful of.
I was going to say, can I talk to you after the break?
Sure, after the break. All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on the air with Rusha really quickly. Rusha, do you have one last thing you wanted to say?
Last question, I promise. Mm-hmm. So hypothetically, I have a liberal friend, and, of course, we disagree about some stuff. Is there a topic that I would actually be able to bring up for their spiritual betterment that you would recommend?
Yes, Jesus rose from the dead.
Because if I... Okay.
Why did Jesus rise
from
the dead?
Yeah, that's a lot more comforting than trying to argue with them about masks when, like, we're in a high-risk area.
Right. If they want to, you know, just bow to the masks and bow to the state requirement of medicines and vaccinations and shame if you don't do what the state wants you to do, then that's their business. But Jesus Christ rose from the dead.
They're trying to take precautions. At least my representative sample is.
I can't hear you. What?
Oh, I said my representative sample is just trying to take precautions. They know it's not 100% effective, but, you know, they're trying to be safe.
It's far from 100%. In fact, recent tests have been done on children in schools who wear the masks. Within one day, they did sample testing, and they've got all kinds of germs that are now accumulating on the mask and staying on the mask. Tuberculosis is one of them. There was samples that were taken, and the kids are touching their masks all the time, and so then it becomes a harbinger of germs and stuff. And why is it that I've had COVID, and my wife's had COVID, so we're immune. We survived it and stuff. They want me to get a vaccine. Why do I have to get a vaccine for something I'm already immune to? Why does the state want us to do that? Why is it that schools are requiring students, colleges are requiring students to have the vaccination, or you can't come to school, even though the kids have had it? A lot of them have had it. And the tests are showing that there's some negative side effects to the vaccine. You probably have heard about the heart problems that are developed in some of the youth. There are pregnancy problems. There's some other issues, which I need to get the documentation more for. I've been reading about it.
Research the vaccine, you say. Research it.
Yeah, research
it. There are a couple out
there. And the more I've researched it, I want nothing to do with it. I don't want to take it. Well, I have natural immunities. Why do I need to take something? Why is the state, why is it telling us to take a vaccine if we've already had the virus and are immune to it? Why? Why are they doing that?
I hope my witness isn't destroyed by taking the Pfizer.
If you want to take it, that's between you and God. That's fine. Do what you want. Mm-hmm. But my question is, you could understand, I've studied cults and control techniques for decades. I've seen how the cults control people in Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Islam, Roman Catholicism, the control means. I've studied these things.
Okay. And so I see the high control group.
And so I see the same kinds of things that are going on. And it's a very, very problematic issue. I'm very concerned about it. Because I don't think, I'm not saying don't wear a mask, because there are some benefits to it. But we have to understand that that we are responsible before God. And, you know, I'll lead off here. I'll talk a little more about it. So we got a lot of callers waiting. We need to move along, okay?
Sure thing. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's all right, Rusha. Okay. God bless. All right. There's a lot to talk about. Mike from Iowa, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, Matt, you've become my best friend since you said it was okay for me to lust after my wife.
Let her know. Just go, hey, baby. And
I'm doing it. Okay, I'm doing it a lot. So here's what I'm struggling with.
Uh-huh.
We have someone in the little town that I live in went around and posted signs on people's doors that said, "Burn that gay flag." Okay. And there's a part of me that wants to respond with something about God and all lives matter and all, you know, babies matter. And I'm just like, when I heard you earlier talking about how we've gotten so complacent,
mm-hmm.
that's very convicting.
Yes, it is.
And I'm stuck.
So what do you do?
I don't want to offend anybody.
Well, that's a problem.
I know it is.
Let the truth.
Very offensive.
Let the truth offend. Don't you offend. Let the truth offend. We don't want to seek to be offensive, but we want to seek to be truthful. And let me tell you, I've got more than a couple experiences of witnessing. And in all my 41 years of doing this, there's one time that I think it went really well. I didn't blow it. One. And I'm not kidding. Just one. And I remember afterwards, I said, oh, that went pretty well. And I reviewed. That went really well. That must have been from God then. So, and even then, my arrogance probably blinds me to what I you know, how I goofed up. But this is what we do. We want to go through, and we want to be wise. And the Bible says, Colossians 4, 5, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders. Let your speech be with grace. Yeah. Romans 4, 5, and 6. So, you know, okay. You know, and that's what we need to do. And take a risk sometimes. Be sensitive as much as you can, but don't be ashamed of speaking that gospel. You know, you don't want to go into a hospital when people are you know, in emergency room and their husband or wife is in a car accident and they're trying to save their life. And you go, okay, it's time for the gospel. Not a good choice of time, you know. So we have to be wise in what we do. All right. It might be a good time, you know, to do that. I mean, but you see what I'm saying?
So to say, fine, don't believe, go to hell, see what I care, that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. I've tried that.
Okay, and, all right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I know how to mess up. I can tell you all the ways to do that. But
all right. Love your program. I really appreciate you.
All right, man. Well, God bless, Mike. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Let's get to Faith from Oregon. Faith, love that name. Welcome. You're on the air. Are you there?
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Brown, and I love the show. I think I have a lot in common.
Well, I'm with Matt Dr. Slick, not Dr. Brown. I'm Matt Slick, okay?
So, okay, I thought I was on Line of Fire with Dr. Michael Brown.
No, you're on Matt Slick Live with Matt Slick.
Okay.
And, he's far all better right, than me at everything. All right, so there you go.
All right, we'll ask you the same question and see what response I get. I've been a believer for over 50 years, got saved in the Jesus movement in Miami, Florida.
Okay.
And I've been out here in Oregon for about 10 years.
Okay.
I was in the same fellowship, a home church fellowship, for probably 30 to 40 years.
Okay.
Many years ago, and but in the last 10 years, moved to Oregon. And, of course, Oregon appears as very liberal, and we see the problems on national TV. Been going around one church to the next. My husband had just passed away about 6 months ago, and he probably wasn't a Berean as much as I was, as far as studying the scripture and proving, you know, seeing if things were so. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, my question is, I just began about 4 weeks ago attending a new church. I've examined online doctrine. This is how I've usually approached it now, especially my husband isn't with me. I'm on my own. I want to come under some authority. The scripture, which has always been...
What's your question? You have a question?
My question is, I believe the church I'm investigating at this point are cessationists. I have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit 50 years ago. Operates in my life through my prayer language and many other things.
Do you have a question, though?
Well, my question was, how can I attend a church where they are railing against those experiences that basically I believe are biblical?
Well, that's up to you. See, I'm amillennial and reformed, and I go to Calvary Chapel. They don't believe that.
Okay. Yeah, I went to Calvary for a while, and I've been here wandering for 10 years in the Oregon wilderness.
Well, I was going to say it's between you and God, and if it's an important enough. If it's an important enough issue for you to be really concerned about it, then you need to talk to the eldership and things like that. If you believe the continuation of the gifts.
I'm going to have to do that. Yeah, that's the next step. I have left many churches that have, you know, don't believe in miracles or healing and so forth. I've received a major healing in my life from MS. My life is on the line to... you know, I would never negate that. God's proven himself to me, so I cannot go somewhere that somebody doesn't believe those things.
Well, talk to the elders then, okay? And remember,
I guess I will.
And remember 1 Corinthians 1:7. Take that verse with you. 1 Corinthians 1:7, yeah. And the word gift there is charismatic. Charismata, okay?
Yep.
In 1 Corinthians 1:7, yep. See what they say. All right?
Okay. I have one more question, something I'll get your opinion on. Okay. 1 Corinthians 11:9-10. Neither was the man created for the women, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Primarily, verse 10. What
so what's your question?
That?
Oh, okay.
Question is,
okay, let me,
what is the power and because of the angels?
So we don't know what it actually means. There are different commentators who have different ideas, and the authority issue has to do with federal headship. And in the culture, women were to wear authority symbols over their heads. It's a designation that they were under the headship of their husbands. And so if they were to reject that, they were rejecting that authority. But it's not a symbol that we use today, so we don't need it. Paul says it's because of the angels, and that's what is a discussion among some theologians. They're not sure what that means. Is it because of the fallen angels? Because the angels are under authority? And to what extent do we do this? And how much of this is cultural and how much of it is not cultural? And that's a debate that's been going on for a while. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. Bye. All right, let's get to Marty from Alexandria, Virginia. Marty, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Matt, can you hear me? I am. Last week, Matt, you were very, very eloquent talking about Mother's Day, and you brought up mothers having miscarriages and mothers who didn't have children. Do we call them mothers? And technically, they are mothers. And it was very nice. I really enjoyed it, and it just made me think. I will confess, I'm 62, Matt, and back in my early 20s, I paid, much to my shame, before I was a Christian, I paid for an abortion, and I just wanted to know how you look at, I know abortion is not the unpardonable sin, and I know I'm not going to go to hell because I have Christ in me, but how do you look at that, and what do you call somebody that's done that? What would you say?
Well, let's just say I can relate a lot, okay? And I have some information on that issue that I just said on the CARM site. But when I encounter people who, you know, like you in that situation, I point them... There's... We're out of time. But I put him to the cross. Can you call back tomorrow? We'll talk about it, okay?
I can.
All right, Matt. Please do that, okay? Sorry about that.
I will do it.
Okay. Hey, folks, we're out of time. And John from Washington State, call back tomorrow about that topic, intercessory prayer and priests and things like that. May the Lord bless you all. We'll be back on the air tomorrow by His grace. Talk to you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.